God's good. He's good all the time. I feel the need to get the big elephant out of the room. Yes, these are velvet combat boots, okay? Everybody's asked about them, so I'm going to just get that plum out of the way already. Yes, they are velvet. Y'all aren't very laughable today. I'm sorry. That was a joke. God is so good. I'm so happy to be in his house. I want to tell you that God cares about you. He knows exactly what you're going through. He's not left you. He is still right there. And God is standing by you. God is standing by you. There's so many things that we go through in this life, and we say, God, are you there? And what I want to tell you this morning is, yes, he's there. Not only is he there, but he is standing right beside you. Don't fear. Don't let fear come into that heart and eat you up, because God is there. Daddy, God is there, and he's standing right by you today. I feel the need to emphasize that. Daddy, God is there. And not only is he there, but he's standing right beside you. He knows every hurt. He knows every disappointment. He knows every worry, every stress. And I want to pray right now, God, in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you, Father God, for every single person, God, that's in your house today. God, for every person, Lord, they're on their couch, Father God, and they're listening and they're tuning in live on Facebook. God, right now, I thank you for the peace of God that's passing all understanding. God, for each child, God, that's yours, and they've had stress and worry and fear and anxiety, God, this week. Lord, I thank you because that peace is coming into that heart right now in Jesus' name. Lord God, for every person that's suffering in addiction right now, God, I thank you that you are the chain breaker. God, you're the only chain breaker. And God, you need a binder and you need a looser. So, Father God, right now I bind up every form of addiction, God, every single last one of them. God, I bind up depression in this place right now. God, right now I loose, God, the spirit of peace, God, and truth right now. God, where there needs to be conviction, God, let it fall on the heart, God, that needs conviction. God, for the one that needs hope, God, I ask right now that you fill them with hope, God, not my hope, God, not Sally Sue's hope, but God, your hope. Lord God, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, you know, sometimes we pray for things, and then we get what we pray for, and we want to rethink what we prayed. And I'm telling you, I'm guilty as they come. I said, God, let there be snow. Lord, let there be a lot of snow. Look here. The part they don't tell you about this calling is the maintenance part. I've been down at this church 37,000 times. I'm making sure that water's trickling like it should. I'm looking under all them sinks, and I put my hand under them pipes, and I'm saying, Lord God, don't let them bust. Lord, all the pipes that's in this church that I don't even have a clue about, Lord, protect them too. And so if you've come in here today and you've been troubled just by snow. If you fall and busted your rear, I'm sorry. We were taking food Monday night, and I love to just spend time with people. I really do. I like to spend time with people one-on-one. And there's something about me, Melissa, where people get around me and they want to just tell it all. And I used to like that when I first got into this, and now I'm like, God, please don't let them tell me one more thing that they done did. God, I need to be able to go to court and plead the innocence. I did not know that. But we was out Monday night, and we were feeding, and here was my heart. Yes, it was snowing. Yes, it was snowing a lot. And I said, now, to the drivers that help us with the Monday night feeding, first of all, I want to tell you thank you. That the senior citizens in Logan County, they got to eat on Monday night, and that was because of y'all. And so from the bottom of my heart, I want to tell you thank you. And I thought, you know, what good are we if we can't help people when they need it the most? That was why we fed Monday night. And we would get out there, and this is the first time I've driven my car in the snow, so I'm thinking, I'm going to see how this little baby works. So I put it on the snow setting, and it was working like a charm. And I had a precious, precious lady driving with me. I will not mention her name because I don't want to embarrass her, but she was from our Thursday night Celebrate Recovery. She doesn't go to this church, but I claim her as one of mine. And we were driving, and once again, there's something about me. People just want to tell me everything. And I'm a sweater. Got any sweaters out here? If it's 0 degrees, I'm going to sweat. If it's hot, I'm going to sweat. At all times, I'm sweating. I'm a high-strung person. That's just what I do. And we was driving, and there was one particular driveway I was concerned about. And this gal, she was just talking, Miss Dale. And I started sweating. I said, I love you so much. But I'm going to have to ask you to stop that talking for just a second. Please go to praying. Because I'm not sure we're getting down this hill in one piece. I need you to stop the talking, and I need you to start your praying. Because that's the only thing going to get us through this route that we've taken. Well, we got through that route, and she just kept talking. I said, you're going to have to be careful and pay attention to what you're doing. Kept talking. So let me tell you something. I'm a talker. I'll talk you to death. Ask my kids when they're getting a lecture. I'll talk till the cows come home and the chickens get in their houses and they want to go to bed. And I said, please pay attention to what you're doing. I don't want you to hurt yourself. I'm not going to hurt myself. I'm with the pastor. I'm blessed. I thought, look, I wish I had that much confidence in me. She's like, nothing's going to bad happen to me when I'm with the pastor. I said, okay. She opened that door. Bam. All I could see was red hair and feet flying up. I said, God, please help and bless this endeavor. Lord, please help sister here to know that I cannot, just my being a pastor is not going to prevent her from falling. God, give her wisdom. And God, please don't let her fall again, because if I have to laugh that hard, I got out, and I don't know what I thought I was going to do, but I flung my door out. I thought, well, she had so much faith in me that she wasn't going to fall, and she done fell. I better at least be supportive. So I flung my door open, and when I seen that red hair and those feet, I hit the ground. I just started dying laughing. I said, God, this is a sin. I know it's a sin to laugh at somebody falling, but God, I ain't laughed like this in 2 years. Thank you. Thank you, God. You said you'd give me joy, and you done give it to me. And so for the next 5 years, I'm going to envision that fall, because it was hilarious. And let me tell you something. She got right back up in the car. She started talking again. I said, God, help me. Help me, God. Help me. But you know what? Let me tell you something. I don't know how you came to Paris Christian Center today. I don't know if you came through those doors heavy-hearted. I don't know if you came in here mad or sad or depressed or in bondage, weak, weary. Whatever you came up in here with this morning, I want to tell you that God wants you to leave whole. God wants you to leave with hope in that heart where there's been a trouble. And so I want to do my job today, and I want to do it to the very best of my ability, because I feel like people need to know more now than they've ever known before. You don't serve a mean God. You don't serve a God that's mad at you and judging you and looking for every reason to be mean to you and mistreat you. You serve a God that loves you so much. And so let's go to 2 Timothy this morning, chapter 4. And we're going to begin to read at verse 1, and it says, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing in his kingdom, I give you this charge. See, I'm going to give you this responsibility. I've been telling my children, you have responsibilities. It doesn't matter at what point in your life you're going through. We all have our stuff. We all have our responsibilities. And here's one of them. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. That means be ready to tell about the goodness of God. It's easy for me to tell about how good God is when everything's going right. And you know what I've learned? Very seldom is everything going right. And so the reason we need to do this is because life happens. Things happen. Things come up. And we need to know that God is still God. And because he's still God, we're still his children. Because we're still his children, we need to tell about how good that he is. Because he's been good and he's been faithful, he's going to keep being good. He's going to keep being faithful. So it says, preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. You know, I used to think, boy, when people do something wrong, they just need to be told right then and there. Let's just be real today. Let's just tell it like it is. There's too many thumping people over the head with Jesus and not loving them. Am I giving you a free pass? Absolutely not. I don't believe in free passes, but what I do believe in is reality. So many times when people are messing up, they know they're messing up. They don't like it. Why do you think Paul said, why do I keep finding myself in the middle of what I don't want to do, but the very thing that I want to do, the very thing that I know is the right thing to do, I'm having trouble doing that thing. Yeah. And what I've learned, Brother John, is this right here. When Pastor Jeremy and I, we took the church over, or it was handed down, that's more of a correct phrasing, that weekend we went up to his youth pastor when he was a kid. They live up in Northwest Arkansas. And Jeremy, for all of y'all that don't know, he graduated from Bible college in Missouri. And he always wanted to be in ministry. And I've always been in ministry. We went up there on that weekend, and we got the best advice that I think any human being on the planet could use. And his youth pastor gathered us up, and he said, now look, kids, it's very simple. Just love people. Just love them. Just love them. So I want to tell you this morning, God really, really loves you. You haven't gone too far. There's not a problem that's too big. There's not a quirk about you that he's going to make it not where he don't like you anymore. He loves you. And he loves you a lot. And so in the word here, it says, you know what? Do this stuff, but do it patiently. Do it patiently. And then it says, for the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. See, the time is coming, and it's pretty well already here, where if you preach the truth, people ain't going to want to go to your church. Guess what you do? You preach it anyway. You preach it anyways. Why? Because the day that Jeremy and I say, no, we're going to try to get more people instead of just telling it like it is, that ain't going to work. That won't work. God won't bless that. He'll shut the doors down. As long as we'll be willing to preach it how it really is in love, God will build his house however he wants to. And so it says, instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. Another translation of this says, prophesy to me smooth words. See, this is not a time for believers to back up from truth to where there's not a differentiation between light and darkness, sinners and saints. It's time for people to be who they're supposed to be. And in the middle of being that person, there are so many things that tug at us, that try to get us to be one way, that try to get us to do this, all of these things, and that's called life. Life get a hold of you and it slap you right upside the face. It gets real. You could be going along, everything's fine, bam, problem. What do you do when that happens? The first thing you need to do when you have an issue, you need to realize God has not left. He's not repositioned himself. He's still right exactly where he's always been, right by you. Right by you. I was in the bathtub. This church has a bathtub. And I was in the back, Brother Alvy, being the janitor. And let me tell you something. I may look dumb, but I actually have learned a lot in the last 2 or 3 years about plumbing. You know how? Because I had a lot of stuff go wrong up in here. I was up in the bathtub in the back of the church. And here's where I've gotten to. And here's where you got to get to. I had a very heavy heart over many things. And instead of blaming God and all that stuff, I just started talking to God. I said, God, I got this issue. I got that issue. This person needs help. God, I feel like I'm torn in so many ways. And I was telling God about a particular issue. And I said, what are we going to do, God? What are we going to do? What do you want to do in this situation? And see, the day before, I prayed a prayer and I said, God, make it very clear. Make it very clear. I don't know about y'all, but I'm one of them people, I'll be driving life. Here's all these red flags, and I'm still going. I'm like, there's a red flag. Isn't that pretty? Did that red flag have glitter on it? No, I'm still going. So I've learned to pray these prayers because I'm extra special. I said, Lord Jesus, Daddy God, make this very clear and very simple. And God, give me the intelligence to realize that's exactly what you want to do. God, whatever it is. So back there in the bathtub, I was just telling God, God, whatever you want to do. God, it's whatever you want. See, I've been so miserable doing and being a part of things that was all me. I've learned to just say, God, whatever you want to do. Whatever you want, God, that's what I want. I was up in that bathtub, and I was just talking to him. And he said something so sweet to me, Dale. And it just touched my heart so much. He said, Kelly, if I wasn't with you, you wouldn't even be this far. If I wasn't with you, wherever you think you're at in your life, see, there's times where we're in places in our lives we're not happy where we're at. You ever been in one of them places that's uncomfortable? You think, you're sitting there and you're going, man, God, I don't like where I'm at right now. God, I don't like this situation that I'm in. God, I don't like what happened in my life. God, I'm unhappy. Lord, something happened. I feel like I didn't do anything to make it happen, but God, nonetheless, it's still in my life. Wherever you think that you are in your life today, I promise you, if God wasn't with you, you wouldn't even be that far. He has stood by you. He has protected us. He has saved us time and time again from things we don't even know. See, if God could tear back the curtain and say, look here, this is where I saved you. Time and time again. I feel like ministry needs to do a more accurate job of showing people who Jesus really is. Because God loves his kids. He loves his children. I got out of that bathtub and I just said, God, whatever you want to do, God, I'm good with it. Make it very clear. Make it very clear, Lord. About 2 seconds later, I got a text on my phone. The answer, right there. Right there. A few weeks ago, Brother Sam and I, we prayed. Sam's got a very big heart, and he loves people. And there's only one Uncle Sam. If you come to this church long enough, I'm going to adopt you, and I'm going to call you aunt or uncle or something. I'm going to come up with a family name for you. He's been Uncle Sam to me since I don't even know how little, about 5 or 6. Anyhow, Sam will go to the grocery store and he'll just buy stuff. And I always tell him, Sam, stop buying stuff. Don't do that. Making me feel bad. He'd go and he'd buy eggs. He'd go and he'd buy milk. Well, he kept buying these eggs. And I said, Lord, please provide some eggs for Sam. Because I don't want him to keep having to spend his money on what he wants to do. But he planted a seed. We was back there putting eggs in cartons 2 or 3 hours yesterday. Carson Paul decided he wanted to act up. Wrong thing to do. Because I'm going to be creative in how I punish you. Promise you that. I said, guess what, son? We got 1,000 eggs. They got poop on them and they're not in cartons. Wash your eggs. I said, we're gonna put them cartons in there. At the end of that, I said, are you going to mess up anymore? You want to do this again? No, Mama. That's what I want to hear. Stop making bad life choices. Now, it's funny when you're telling that to a 9-year-old. I know 59-year-olds, they're still doing the same dumb things. That's a problem. It's a problem. And so it says here, they will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. I don't like to get up here and tell people stuff, but it's my family, so I'll tell it. It's my kid, and I'll tell it. I let him go stay the night at his grandparents. Well, he didn't get to stay the night because he's acting up. Now, it takes a lot to get my parents upset because they had me. And I broke them in real good. Very little upsets them anymore. Well, Carson is like a weird version of me, and it's magnified like by a million. And it's rough on people. And he has no fear. And my parents have a pond in the back of their house. He decided it will be a good idea to walk on the ice. My daddy called me up. I didn't know whether to cry, beat that kid, flip out. I didn't know what to do first. I said, Dad, I can't talk no more. I just hung up. I had to get a hold of myself. Because I was thinking about everything that coulda, shoulda, woulda happened. You can spend your life in that state where you're looking in regret about everything that you do, where you're looking and you're saying, well, I shoulda done that or coulda done that or woulda this and all that. Look here, don't live your life in that state. I was sitting there. I was beside myself. There ain't nothing, Harley, that I love more than my kids. And that mama heart, I just was broken. And God said, Kelly, yeah, he did wrong. Don't be messed up about that. I was with him when you couldn't be. Let me tell you something. When nobody else could be there with you, God was with you. If you can't make that recollection, you need to get on your knees and you need to pray to God to help you to see clearer. But let me tell you something. When you needed it most, when you felt abandoned most, when you felt let down most, when you felt discouraged most, when you felt betrayed most, God was with you. See, God was with you. And we want to stay in a state where we're saying, God, why did you let that happen? Why did you let that happen, God? God, why this? God, why that? Look here. God has been in things with you you have no idea about. Because he loves you. Because he loves you. See, God will be places for you and for your family when you can't be there. Why? Because he loves you. God's not going to stop loving you because you did a number 9 and nobody found out about it yet. I love when people try to tell me, I'll be saying something. I say, look, you can't do that stuff. Well, I know, but Sally Sue, look at her. She's way worse than me. I'm going, Let's talk about you. That's what I tell my kids. Carson, oh, somebody dared me to do it. I didn't go to the middle. I just went to the edge. I didn't even go to that pond. Man, I heard about 17 stories, and I'm not as good as my parents were. I couldn't make truth of it. One time when we was kids, there's four of us girls, but there was three of us living up under the household. Okay, we did about a number a million. And we never tell about what we did. We did a bad thing. Daddy lined us all up. Alvy, Mama was saying they did not do that, Angelo. Them girls, they're too sweet. They would never do that. Look here, Dale. We did it. We did stuff they still don't even know about. I told Dad that. He said, Kelly, I don't ever want to know. I said, I'm never telling you. Dad said, the spirit of truth has done come up in this house. I said, who's that? The spirit of truth, who is that? He said, I want you to know Jesus knows when you're telling a lie. Did you do it? Shelly, she ain't here today, so I'm going to pick on her. She said, absolutely not. No, we did not do that. We did not think about doing that. We would never do that. Dad kept going, girls, the spirit of truth up in this house. I'm going, I don't know who that is, but that's making me uncomfortable. Who is that? Daddy goes, Kelly, did you do that? Heather, this is honest to God, I'll never forget this. I'm a fidgeter, and I go, I don't know who the spirit of truth is, but it's making me a little anxious. I don't know if we did that. I don't know. We get to Melissa. Melissa, stand up, honey. I want everybody to see you. Melissa's a saint. She's a sweetie. Get to her. Look here. Don't ever do any crimes with Melissa. Okay? Go with Shelly. Shelly be your alibi. Okay? Don't take me either because I'm going to be confused about it. I don't know. We get to Melissa. Melissa goes, the spirit of truth is here, girls. We did it. We did all of it. We was lined up. Shelly bends over and she goes, you idiot. But look here. This day and age, people don't like to listen to sound doctrine. They don't like to hear when they're wrong. They don't like to hear nothing but what they want to hear. Yet we think that we serve a McDonald's drive-through Jesus. We don't. Some things can only be worked out with prayer and with fasting, with getting on your knees and talking to God. But one thing I want to make very clear. God is there. God is there. And so it says, they will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths, but you keep your head in all situations. In all situations. In all situations. Keep your head. Keep your head. There's things that when they come up, you want to lose your head. You want to lose your temper. You want to lose your mouth. You want to lose a lot of things. Look here. God's not in this for losing. Keep it. Keep your head. Keep your mouth. Keep whatever it is else you want to let loose. No, if God wasn't with you, you wouldn't be as far as you are now. But keep yourself. Keep yourself. There's something to be said for that believer that'll just keep their self in all things. In all things. Look here. Know that God is working it out. If you come up in here concerned this morning, whatever it is, I promise you God is working on it. That's what he does. That's the best thing about what Pastor Jeremy and I get to do. We get to brag on somebody that has a perfect track record. Never been late. Never let us down. Never left. when we was bad. It's hard when you have to sell something where it's iffy. Look here, this ain't iffy. We serve an exact God. Amen. And it says, for I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time has come for my departure. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. Look here, so many people start things they have no intention on finishing. Be a finisher. Be a finisher. Let God finish the thing that he started. If you get discouraged halfway into that, know that God didn't start something in you just to not finish it. No, he's going to finish it. Let him finish it. And so it says, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, and I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. Do your best to come to me quickly. For Demas, because he loved this world, has deserted me and has gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia and Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you because he is helpful to me in my ministry. I sent you Titus to Ephesus. When you come, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas and my scrolls, especially the parchment. See, this dude's been through a lot of stuff, and he, you know what he said, brother? Bring my coat. Bring my coat and come help me in the ministry. Devil will give you a million reasons not to do what you're supposed to do. Do them anyway. Do them because God asked you to do them. Do them because you know you're never going to be happy when you're doing stuff other than what he told you to do. And it says here, Alexander, the metal worker, did me a great deal of harm. There's been a lot of times in my life where I've went to this exact place in the Word. There's people, they'll never be for you. There's people, they'll never be with you. They'll never be for you. And I find so many times that those are the people we're the most messed up about. A lot of people say, well, I just want my family's approval. I just want this and I just want that. Look here, go with God. Stop wasting your life on things and people that it doesn't matter what you do. They're never going to accept you. They're never going to be happy with you. Anybody got any of them people? I don't. I got rid of them. I offended them, though. I'm kidding. If the pastor can't make a joke, I don't know what to say to you because I'm going to keep making them cheesy jokes, okay? But look here. We spend our lives trying to do everything but the one simple thing that God asked us to do. Do what he asked you to do. And when you're doing it and it gets a little hard, life gets hard. And when you're doing what God told you to do, it gets hard sometimes. Sometimes you want to quit. Sometimes you want to say, are you sure, God? No, he's right there. He's standing right by you. And it says, Alexander, the metal worker, did me a great deal of harm. See, are you in that place there where you're saying, you know what? There's somebody that's hurt me really badly. They did me a lot of harm. They did my family a lot of harm. They hurt me, and I'm still hurting. Settle that. Where do you settle it? Right here. Settle that. That's what he was doing. He said, you know what, this person, they did me a lot of harm. The Lord will repay. There's a lot of times when we're up in the fight and we're up in the battle and we're looking at how everybody did this and did that. Come to that place where you can just say, God, you know exactly what they did. You know exactly what I did. God, you're the one that's lining this out. Not me. You'll set it straight. And so it says, the Lord will repay him for what he has done. You too should be on your guard against him because he strongly opposed our message. At my first defense, no one came to my support. You ever felt like that in your life? I think we all have. We've all felt like, well, I'm just being left high and dry. We have that thing in us where we want to have a pity party. Sometimes the pity party is accurate. It's right on. You have every reason to have a pity party. Just because you have a reason to do something doesn't mean you should. You know what happens to me in my pity parties? God always puts somebody in my path. And I know that they're looking at how I'm going to respond in the middle of my mess. So I have to think over real hard before I really want to pull a shenanigan. Because I always have an audience, and you do too. You do too. At my first offense, no one came to my support, but everyone deserted me. May it not be held against them. There are things and issues in our lives that are holding us back because we are still holding things against people that did us wrong, that hurt us, that did things to our family, that did things to our children, that did things on the job. Look here. Stop holding those things, because when you're holding those things are holding you. They're holding you back. They're not letting you go. The only thing that you can do with those things is say, Daddy God, I'm giving this all to you. I refuse to be stuck in this state of my life where I'm held here. May it not be held against them, but the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength. God stood by his side. When you're reflecting on the day and you're looking, look again. Keep looking till what you're seeing is what's really there, because what's really there is that God is there. When everything looks like a mess, when it looks like it could never be made right, when it looks like the breakthrough ain't coming, look again. Look again, because it's coming. God's in it to win it. He never loses. Last place for me, Romans chapter 8. We're going to look at verse 28. And it says, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him. There's a few words that I want to point out here. First of all, you need to know. You need to know. You need to know. When you get up in the middle of a battle, the first thing that wants to happen is you lose your knowing. You begin to say, God, are you really coming through? Lord, is this going to be okay? Yes. And we know. We know. We know. There's times where I've had to stop and say, in Jesus' name, let my heart know that it doesn't need to be troubled. God, everything looks bad. But God, it doesn't matter what it looks like. God, it matters what you said. Things will look one way. But look here, nothing's ever what it really looks like. We can't see what God's doing all the time. But what we can do is we can know. We can know that he's working, that he's moving, that he has our best interest. And so it says, and we know that in all things, that's another thing that we like to do when trouble comes. We like to take things and we like to stick them out. Well, God couldn't help this situation because I messed up here. This person, no, in all things, you know, in all things that he works for good. The third word that I want to point out is God works. He works. For people that think that God's just sitting up there ready to whack people, he ain't. He's sitting up there and he's saying, I'm going to help my kid. I'm going to help my kid. They got theyself up in the middle of the pond. Their mama going to kill them, but I'm going to make sure I save their life. Look here. There's not a mountain he wouldn't climb up for you. If you're in trouble this morning, if you're hurting, if you're irritated, if you're stressed, however you came up in here, God's right there. He's right there. And we know that in all things that God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. For those that God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those He predestined, He also called. Those He called, He also justified. Those He justified, He also glorified. What I've learned in this life is this right here. Stop justifying myself. You don't have to justify yourself. God will do that for you. In one of my worst points, I married the most sanest person ever. He's so sane and he's so literal. And then he married me. And I'm the opposite. We's up in our kitchen one night about a year and a half ago. See, there's just certain things that happen in your life, and there's moments that you have that will always just kind of stick with you. And this is one that stuck with me. And I'm glad that it was a moment with just me and Jeremy. And I was just telling him about it. Like wives do. And y'all men got to just sit there and act supportive when you're really going, why is she messed up about this? I see nothing wrong. Yes, dear. Okay. Rambling on. And Jeremy goes, sweetheart, I love you so much. And I want you to know that you can't possibly bark back at everybody that barks at you. You can't defend yourself every time somebody says something. You can't bark back at everything that barks at you. Every time I want to bark a little bit, I think about my husband. That's some of the best advice that I've ever been given. Because you know what? There's something inside of us where we want to defend ourselves. We just want to tell somebody. We want to set the record straight. Got to do that better than you could ever do it. If you back up and give him a little room. Now, if you're still trying to do God's job, you're going to have a time at that. Because ain't nobody do it like God. And it says here, and those he predestined, he also called. Those he called. See, are you called? The answer is yes, you are. You got a big calling. Nobody can quite do it like you can. You were born to do what you were supposed to do. Get to figuring what it is. A lot of people, I say, what are you supposed to do with your life? I have no idea, Pastor Kelly. Please help me. Look here, once again, just because I'm a pastor doesn't make me Jesus. You get out on the snow the wrong way, you're going to fall. Being up in my car ain't going to help you. That still makes me laugh. Anyhow, that's a myth that people have about pastors. I'm not Jesus. You drive with me in the snow and you get out the wrong way, you're going to fall. And yes, I'm going to laugh. Okay, there's so many things in this job that's sad. If I can laugh, I'm going to laugh. And that was a good laugh. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. If you'll realize, look here, Daddy God, you're standing right beside me. God, I'm not going to be troubled. God, I'm not going to lose my temper. God, I'm going to keep myself. Because you're right there. Because you're right there. Not because the situation looks great. Not because everything's lined up the way I want it to be. But God, because you're there. Because you're there. That's why. Everything in life sometimes will make it look like, ugh. Read the back of the book. He's there yesterday. He'll be there today, and he'll be there tomorrow. He'll be with you when everything's going right. He'll be with you when life happens and it starts going wrong. Guess what he'll do then? He'll turn it around, and he'll get it going right again. That's what he does. That's what he does. What then shall we say in response to this? Look here. You have a response. How are you responding to what you're in right now? How are you responding? What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died. More than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Look here. When you can't have, when you don't have the words to pray, Jesus himself is interceding for you. There are things that are so heavy. Sometimes we don't have the words to pray. Somebody else does. Don't let that heart say, God, where have you been? He's been right there. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? See, nothing is separating you from him. So don't separate yourself from him. See, hardship isn't separating you from him. He's getting you out of that hardship. Family problems aren't separating you from Jesus. He's going to work it out. Amen. Y'all stand to your feet. I'm going to pray. Lord God, in Jesus' name, God, I thank you for every person, Lord, that's heard your word today. God, I thank you that you're working it out. God, you're perfecting the things that concern us. God, you're bringing about breakthrough, God, in Jesus' name. Lord, you're bringing healing, God, in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you for promotion. God, true promotion, God, it only comes from you. God, I thank you, Lord, that you're making a way, God, where there was absolutely no way. Lord, I thank you for everything that you're doing in each of us. And we give you praise and we give you glory, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all be blessed. There is a lot of food.